brethren, the Lord bless you. My name is Angela, and I am here today with Dora. We will ask Brother Joseph some questions concerning the worldwide persecution against Christians. Brother Joseph and his wife and children are non-denominational Christian missionaries. Their ministry is evangelizing the people who are the least reached. In the last few years, Brother Joseph has received from the Lord an insight to understand the prophetic end-time events of the Bible. Periodically, he also gives different messages on the subject, such as in this following interview, which concerns countries where brethren are presently persecuted.
God bless you. Hello, Brother Joseph.
God bless you.
Nice to be here with you.
Yes, what can I do for you?
Well, Brother Joseph, as Angela said, there is mounting opposition and persecutions in the world against the Christians. What counsel do you have, Brother Joseph?
Yes, we've been talking about this and praying. They are in our prayers, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, the Bible counsel, Jesus counsel, the gospel counsel, the early Christians, they set up a pretty good sample for 3 centuries, how they were able to overcome the Roman Empire system, of course at the price of many martyrs.
Yes.
But it seems that now all over the world, the Christians are not prepared for this kind of surprise persecution, bombing of churches, people that pass by with motorbike and spraying bullets inside the churches, throwing bombs, running away. Basically from Constantine until now, it's been about exactly 1700 years. It's like the world Christianity is based on Sunday morning meetings, which is fine. It's beautiful to get together, praise the Lord, the Sunday morning, but and the persecution cannot do that.
Why?
Well, you have to do like the early church. You have to just meet in private, in secluded places, like in catacombs. You know, the Christians to build the tunnel under the city.
But you think that's actually possible in our days? I understand 2,000 years ago was great, but in our days you think that's possible to do?
I'm not saying to go actually build the physical catacombs. I'm talking about the strategy. Like a Christian today, they have to operate like in a catacomb situation more and more, especially in the 50 countries or more where they're persecuted.
What do you mean catacomb situation?
How do you decipher that in today's language?
Yeah, I don't mean now let's all go to church with the pick a shovel and start digging.
Yeah, right. Okay.
No, I don't mean the physical catacombs. I mean the mentality, the strategy, the system of the catacombs. In other words, today it wouldn't work to build a tunnel under the cities, of
for
course
sure
no.
It wouldn't.
But the system, yes. In other words, the idea of the catacombs, it was for Christians to hide until the heat of the persecution was over. And so there would be like sporadic little groups who would hide in the catacombs, which was also a burial place. But that was like more the exception. Normally, they would meet in houses. So they would have little groups. You see that for 300 years, the Christians never had a temple, a religious building. They always met in house. You can see that.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 16:19. Romans 16:5, he's talking about the church that meets in the house. Well, it's beautiful and wonderful. You can meet on Saturday if you're an Adventist, or Sunday if you're a mainstream Christian, whatever. But the idea would be to meet everywhere, whenever you can, whenever is possible, wherever you find a place, in my house, in your house. And that would have the advantage of having small groups. People can eat together, help each other, and escape persecution, escape publicity. So like the enemies who throw bombs, etc., they never know where you meet. Of course, there will still be martyrs. That's until the last day is prophesied and the world is up. Tribulation, be a good cheer because I have overcome the world. And there is tribulation coming. You can see that everywhere in the Bible. The Antichrist is coming, the Mark of the Beast, Revelation 13, Matthew 24.
So this meeting in houses wouldn't be enough to stop the persecutions?
No, the persecution will continue, as prophesied.
But you're saying they will be more protected?
Exactly. It wouldn't be there just sitting on the church benches Sunday morning, and while you listen to the sermons, the people, your enemies, they come and throw bombs inside.
Because why? Because they know where the building is, or why?
They know where the building is. You have the schedule hanging outside the door every Sunday at 10 o'clock, Saturday at this time, Thursday at this time. So it's like you're advertising, okay, if you want to kill me, you can come either Thursday night. If you want to throw a bomb, it could be Saturday night. If you want to come with a machine gun, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. So you understand? It's like you need to go back to the early church, to the victorious church, okay?
Yes.
You understand?
I understand about meeting in private places, but what about the situations where terrorists drive in on motorbikes, on cars, into a Christian village, and they start shooting and killing people on the streets, and then they drive away, they run out?
Well, you have to self-defend yourself from that. I've seen in certain countries, what they do, they block the village.
What do you mean?
They block every road with bars, metal bars, so nobody can get in from any roads, except there is only one big entrance and one big exit. Everybody has to go through that. And the entrance and the exit, there is a group, either soldiers or civilians, well-armed, who will check who comes in or goes out. There is still the danger that, like it's happened in Afghanistan, the terrorists, they just go to a roadblock, they just shoot the soldier, the roadblock, and run away.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, the guards at the entrance, they have to make sure they're sitting behind a cement wall, and the people in the car, they have to get off the car and walk to the wall, all right, with their documents,
mm-hmm.
and opening the shirt to show that there are no bombs under the shirt, etc.
Mm-hmm.
They have to do that. Sitting behind the cement, they cannot be shot by people who drive there, shoot and drive away. They cannot do that because you're behind the wall and they're just sitting in a car. Understand?
Yeah.
So all the little streets are blocked by metal bars, big bars, and there's only one entrance, one exit. There is very well guarded.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can get in. Of course, people can still walk in and just sneak in, fine, but that's not as easy as driving through and driving out.
Of course.
Because somebody walk through, he can easily get caught.
Cannot run out too fast.
He can easily get caught. There is some guards in duty or motorbikes. They can catch them. You understand?
Yeah, so the solution you're saying is to increase the security.
The security, this is one suggestion. Block every street and just have just one exit and one entrance.
And guards.
Well guarded day and night.
So, if I understood right, then we are supposed to love and forgive our enemies and try to reach them for Christ. But in the same time, we can try to defend ourselves in whatever means are possible that are peaceful and...
And legal.
Amen. Right?
Amen. So, also, the Christians need to get together. Okay, strength is in unity. Like, we need to forget about these things. You belong to that denomination, I have a different religion, you have a different pastor, my pastor is better. We need to forget that. We should all get under the pastor Jesus and forget our denominationalism.
I mean, it's so many differences between the churches.
For many years, I've been a non-denominational, and I believe God loves every believer who accepts Jesus Christ as a Savior. It's not too difficult. Just the leaders of each church who's willing to go meet the other leaders in private and talk, have a meal together, have a cup of tea together. Just agree on what we agree.
So what can that help concerning the persecution?
Because now you see the devil is trying to divide the church, Protestant against Catholic, Pentecost against Baptist, etc., etc. It's a trick of the devil to divide the Christians, right?
Yes.
But when the Christians unite, we are the most powerful force on earth.
Mm,
so
amen.
We should just set aside the differences.
Amen.
You are different than me in the Trinity. I'm different than him in the baptism.
Yeah.
Like these things is like, whatever we disagree, these things, as long as we agree on the main things, that
Amen.
Jesus our Lord is the only Lord, the only Savior,
yes.
the Son of God, he died on the Calvary, shed his blood for my salvation, for your salvation, the gospel is the word of God, Jesus is the word of God made flesh, etc. If we can agree on the main things, let's work on these things, agree on what we can agree. And the secondary things which we don't agree, leave it for later. Of course, if somebody says, well, I don't believe Jesus and not God, well, that's too far. Okay?
Yes.
So that's what I mean.
Actually, I heard testimonies of Christians in persecuted countries, churches who were uniting, helping each other, and they were much stronger, it's true. Because they were always helping, standing up for each other.
Yeah, you can see, for example, as far as hiding, there are examples in the Bible. If you can read, look, why don't you give me a scripture? You have it there, John 8,
yes.
59.
Yes, one
Another
second.
One, John 10, 39. It's about hiding. There's nothing wrong in hiding.
John 8, 59.
Mm-hmm.
Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.
John 10:39, Jesus hid himself. Jesus was hiding. Nothing wrong in hiding. The Christian did it for 300 years off and on. You have that?
John 10:39. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand.
But isn't that being like a coward, to just hide?
No, that's what Jesus was doing. It cannot be. See, you're not denying Jesus. Okay? Jesus was not denying the truth by hiding. It's not like Peter denied Jesus 3 times.
But then?
You hide until the heat is past. There is a proverb in America, they say, either fights and runs away, leaves to fight another day.
Ah, okay. So to fight another day.
That's good.
We don't have it in Italy. All right. So understand that. Also, another thing is to respond to the hatred, to respond to the bombing, to respond to the murdering, respond when they kill us, understand?
How do you respond?
By love and forgiveness.
I was afraid of what you're going to say.
I know, but
in America... It's not easy.
In America, they're having a big push. Everybody gets a gun, shotgun, firearms.
Exactly.
Well, Jesus said, either live by the sword, shall die by the sword, okay? We've been in countries here that we have a big problem with thieves, and we don't get firearms, we get dogs. to defend our house. Very big and nice dogs. So there are ways you can do, but the best defense is the wisdom of God. Okay.
Amen.
So your true superiority is not having a big church, a big organization, etc. The true superiority is forgiveness. Forgive your enemies. The early Christian overcame the Roman Empire and the whole world, the known world, in 3 centuries just by love and forgiving their enemies.
Amen.
You understand?
Don't you think that some people might find this contradicting, the message of love and forgiveness, with what you said earlier about having roadblocks with armed soldiers or guards?
Yes, they might. Look, I'll give you some scripture. Luke 22 and Romans 13.
Okay.
Go to Luke 22.
Yes.
Verse 36. He who has no sword?
Yes. He who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one.
All right. Now, Romans 13, 1 until 4. This one is read from the New Living Translation, even though usually we read from the New King James.
Yes.
You have it, no?
Yes. Romans 13, 1. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in position of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants.
God's servant.
Yes. Sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants, sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong.
Look at verse 6. They said they are serving God.
They are serving God in what they do.
You see, so it's like if you're purely defensive, a soldier doing his duty, defending a church or a school, preventing some terrorists or throwing bombs, of course, if worse comes to worse, you have to use the force to stop them. There is nothing else. But, of course, if in a normal life, a Christian life, of course, we usually walk in love and forgiveness as much as we can. Amen?
So there can be a right balance between loving, forgiving, and defending children, parents, relatives.
Yeah, we always love and forgive, but there comes a time where, like in the book of Revelation, God will send Armageddon. God will send people to hell, to lake of fire. If they don't want love and forgiveness, there comes a limit.
It's true.
You have to defend a school if people throw bombs inside, of course. If you're a policeman, you have to do your duty. If you have to shoot, what to do? You're not trying to do it, they ask for it. But outside these very exceptional situations, Christians always walks and acts in love and forgiveness toward his enemies, and even his murderers, if it needs be. For they don't know what they are doing, but we know better. We know the Lord. This is why and how so many of them are getting converted by the love and forgiveness and salvation of the Lord they see and the better seeing us, because only that is true superiority and victory of the gospel kind.
Amen, amen. The Lord help us.
And the time to prepare is now. Organize now how to have private meetings, understand? Like, it's wonderful if you can get together on Sunday morning, great, but prepare already now, the time was yesterday, to organize in your house, worship the Lord in your house, so that the pastor of your church, if he cannot meet the whole 100, 200, 1,000, 2,000, he can meet the leaders of the house churches, understand, and train them how to do it.
Amen.
Yes, okay? Yes. It is very good what you just said, Brother Joseph, to forgive our enemies. But I'm thinking it's not easy. It's such a challenge for our dear brethren when they live in daily constant danger and they have their children killed and they really suffer a lot.
Yeah, I know. Don't tell me. I had my personal fights to learn to love people who hated me. I dealt with witches, Satanists, the Antichrist, all kinds of people. People who hurt me, relatives, all kinds of stuff. But, you know, it was a cage. I had to get out. The way to get out was my relationship with Jesus, my love for Jesus. And Jesus always brought me back to the gospel. And you know, Jesus always told me forgiveness is not just good for the other person. It doesn't just make God happy. It's not just obedience to the Bible. Forgiveness is also your way out of the cage where the devil is trying to stick
wow.
you.
Amen.
Through hatred, through bitterness. Grudges, forgiveness. He that does not forgive is burning the bridge, it has been said, where he himself sooner or later will have to cross.
Wow, that's okay. Well, that's nice.
Lack of forgiveness, when you wish somebody else, your enemy, you wish evil, is like drinking poison hoping that the other guy dies. Listen,
that's good.
The answer is the relationship with Jesus. You cannot. Impossible to forgive your enemy after they kill your children, your wife, your family. You cannot forgive them unless you have Jesus Christ, unless you have relationship with
Amen.
Jesus. And this is the true superiority. This is how everybody around us will get the message, and many of our enemies will get converted.
Amen.
Testimony of Romans jumping into the arena because they saw vision of Jesus picking up the souls of those people who are dying.
Hallelujah.
John 17:3 says, this eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Can I give you a scripture, please?
Yes.
Philippians 3, 7 till 10. And with this, I think we're going to close.
Okay. Philippians 3, 7 through 10. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Amen.
So, dear brethren, fight, love, forgive, look to Jesus, get full of Jesus, get full of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Love your brother and even love your enemies, and that's where your victory will be. That's how you will convert your enemy, some of them at least. That's how God is going to be proud of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Very good and needed counsel. It's been a blessing to listen to you. Thank you, Brother Joseph.
What's a real blessing is to have the Lord on our side, always protecting us. Shall we close in prayer? I just have a few scriptures to share. We close in prayer.
Yes.
Lord, we pray for our beloved pastors that you have given us. Pastors who are giving their lives every day to lead, feed, protect God's sheep.
Thank
often
you, Lord.
At the price of their own safety and even life. Bless these pastors, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, help us all to support them, not only in prayer, but also materially. Because by supporting them, Lord, we are supporting you and your heavenly kingdom. Especially now at this time when so many of us Christians here in the West are so indifferent and passive toward the need of these suffering brethren in this persecuted country. But we know they are so precious in your sight.
Amen.
Would you like to read the scripture, Romans 16:20, please?
Yes. So Romans 16:20. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Also Luke chapter 10, 18 to 20. You see the devil is under our feet now, okay? So
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow what the devil is doing around the world today is because we Christians, we don't realize the power that we have. We just have to use it. You have it?
I have it. Luke 10:18-20. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Amen. Romans 12:19 also. Let's rejoice. Rejoice, brethren. For this persecution is the only hell we will have to ever go through. Amen. And then heaven is all for us. You have it?
Romans what?
12:19.
Romans 12:19. Okay. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.
Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. And dear brethren, thank you for being with us. You are welcome to write in to ask any questions. And just like the rest of our materials, you are welcome to spread it and broadcast it for the glory of God. The Lord bless and protect all of us.